Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to Stretford Paddock, and this is the Devils Podcast. Joining me today is Alex. How are you?
I'm good. Good. It's been a while since I've done something other than a match day video, which is good. It's good to be back.
Good to have you on. Good to have you on. And Jay as well. How the devils are you?
Oh, nicely done. Never gets old. Good. I'm good, mate. Yeah, I'm excited.
Good. What are you excited for?
Just, you know.
What are you being excited for? We're not allowed to be excited as Man United fans. We have to be wistful and upset.
Yes. I'm excited because we've got Champions League football next season. I'm excited because we've still got the Europa, which, all right, it's not the most glamorous competition, but it's a trophy, we're still in it. Yeah. And we don't have the pressure of needing it to get into the Champions League. And also, yes, it's silly season with transfers, which can get a bit annoying, but even that's a little bit exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, to start with, it's fun. This Sancho deal better happen. But you're talking there about Europa, we're talking about Champions League. Are you looking forward to Europa League now? Are you looking forward to it more or less? Obviously, there's less pressure on it now. Does that mean you can sit and relax and enjoy it? Or does it mean you sort of think, well, who cares?
I think we've got options now where we can use it as, I think people have said that, you know, these first couple of games, we can almost say, throw a few of the kids in, put different people in. We don't have to use the same team we've used for the past month to try and get us through the over the line in the Premier League. So doing that. And now, and then maybe bring the other players back and almost use it like a mini, more competitive pre-season towards the end of it if we do get through and things like that. So I think I'm looking forward to it. It should be, it's going to be a lot more enjoyable than it was when we're trying to get a Champions League spot and that's the only way we're going to get it, which is, so it's much better.
Yeah, that was rough, wasn't it? That was rough.
It was, the problem with that was that Jose gave up in January on the league. So like, week in, week out, you're watching shit. Like, you know, we're just playing a reserve team, not on a complete reserve team, but resting players in the league for like the game and drawing and losing against the likes of Swansea and Hull and teams like that. I just remember thinking, you know, what is going on here? And then, yes, we won it. And I've always said, you know, that winning the Europa was great, especially coming so soon after the arena attack, and it gave us all a lift. And I was there in Stockholm, and it was a fantastic evening. But it was one of those competitions where you thought, right, don't whatever, see this again. As soon as it ended, it's like, right, I don't want to come back into Europa again. Obviously, we're back here, but it's a different circumstance. And, you know, we completed the set, of course, and all that sort of stuff. But, yeah, like Baggers is saying, it's a good opportunity to see, like you say, practice and get ready for like almost like a pre-season. Also to see what level some of these youngsters are at. Yeah. Because I think players like, say, Jimmy Garner, for example, how far off the team is he? You know, we've got Matic, who's getting on a bit. I know he's only 31, and I get where, you know, people coming from with that, but we know we can't play week in, week out. Question marks, perhaps, on how much you can rely on the likes of Fred and McTominay. Garner is one that may be called upon next season, so you can use it, people like him, Laird, maybe one or two others, I'm not sure.
Levitt as well, maybe.
Levitt, yeah.
I think Ted and Mengi's the one as well.
Ted and Mengi,
I mean, I watched him in that youth game this year, and he's ridiculous. Like, you could see he was levels above everyone else at that kind of level. So it's kind of seeing where does he fit at this level, especially with, you know, he played the game at Astana, but he played alongside another U team player, but maybe you put him alongside a Lindelof or a Maguire for one of these games and you see where he kind of sits in that. And that'll be interesting to see, because if he is close, you know, there's all this talk now about centre-backs that we're being linked with, or maybe we need another one. Can him and Twanzebe be the ones that are pushing Lindelof and Bailly and Maguire out of the team, which would be ideal, really.
Are you even remotely, like, allowing the concept to enter your head that if we play just all youngsters who, let's not forget, haven't played football in 6 months, we're not getting 5-0, are we? We're not. It's not going to be.
The last
if, what if we're 3-0 down at half time because we've played?
What, against last?
Yeah. No, is there a chance, no matter who we play? Because they haven't. The under-23s and the under-18s haven't played since.
They've not even been in. Haven't even been in training.
I mean, don't forget, against last away, we didn't play our strongest team necessarily.
That's true.
5-0. Yeah.
And we still walked it.
Yeah. Pereira and scored.
That's what I mean. Beauty. You know, it was like coming out of a game because you're going to get a goal, sort of stuff. So even if he plays some of the kids, I don't see them getting beat. I don't see this becoming like a. I just don't. Even a cynic.
Well,
and a
what have we got here? No, none of that.
I just can't see it. I can't imagine it.
Like you said there, I think the fact that a lot of these lads haven't even been in training, so I think he's going to have to play a lot of the younger lads. He's going to have to play a couple of the mixed experience lads. You know, he's going to have to put, like I said, maybe Mengi plays, but I think a Lindelof or a Maguire has to play alongside him. Mm. Same in midfield. I think maybe Garner plays, but I think you might see one of Bruno or Pogba maybe, or someone, you know, maybe a Juan Mata or someone like that play alongside. I don't think it's going to be a complete... It's not going to be a starter. It's not going to be...
Why not, though? Because in that game...
They literally haven't been training. These lads haven't been at the...
Carrington's been training, I think.
There's been the lads that got invited to first team training. The rest of them have been told, do what you want, lads.
Mm. I think some of them need games as well. I think even like McTominay and Mata.
Yeah, McTominay.
They've not played.
You can play McTominay, Fred, Mata, and they've not kicked a ball.
McTominay or one of McTominay or both... him and Fred will start. Mata, I think, will start as well. Igalo, I reckon, will start.
Yeah.
Pereira or Lingard. It might be all those players.
I mean, last time it was Lee Grant won it in goal. Mm. I think you're not going to do that again. I think you give Romero a game. I presume so. Anyway,
maybe Romero plays towards the end of it as well. Maybe you play
Lee
Grant
Lee
in
Grant
this one
game.
I always think the
reason to be at the club.
Our sort of second string isn't that bad. It's just not title challenging,
it's
or not top four
it's
challenging.
Not,
like
not,
if we lose Bruno and Pogba, or you know maybe a Martial, whatever, we're in trouble if we want to go for a title challenge or top four challenge. But if we're in the Europa and the likes of Bruno, Pogba, Martial, and Rashford arrested, I still think we've got a decent enough squad to challenge for that competition.
And after this, you talk about challenging after this game, which as I was trying to push the only real potential we have of anything close to a risk of this tie where we maybe play all the under-18s who haven't played a game, but even then I don't think we'd lose 5-0. After this then we've got, it's either Copenhagen or Istanbul Başakşehir, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
Again, you would assume, and no offence to those two teams, which I don't really know much about, if you're Paul Pogba or Bruno Fernandes or Martial or Rashford, you've probably got 2 or 3 week holiday now, haven't you?
Yeah, they're not going to play that game. I think there might be a couple of them on the bench.
They'll be on the bench, yes.
There might be a couple on the bench, but I don't think they're going to play that stronger team. I think those are the kind of games, especially the Istanbul, if we'd have got Istanbul, you know, to do a two-leg game, have to go there. That would have been horrible. Imagine that in the middle of what we've just gone through. Because that's what
with their fans and everything.
With their
Although,
fans.
I don't know what
the travel
fans are
to
like,
Turkey's never, Turkey's usually never as good and things like that. You know, that would have been on another level. Whereas now, neutral ground, they've not got that kind of backing, not got that same kind of feel. I think that we should beat either of them teams. Gets interesting. And then it gets the bigger teams. Then you've got like...
Bit of Rome, a bit of Wolves.
Sevilla, Inter Milan for the round after that and things like that. That's when it's closer to a Champions League style standard, really.
There are a couple of players that no matter what, I would give the whole competition off. I would give Marcus the whole competition off, and I would give Bruno the whole competition off. I know that's not going to be popular because people say, we get to the final, bring it back in, we can win it. I just think they need a break. They look gone.
Have a month
Marcus
off.
Had a broken back, for fuck's
give
sake.
Give them a month off.
Yeah. Like, he's not recovered from it properly. He hasn't. And it's like, he's still been, you know, he was man of the match against Palace. Okay, what Glenn Hoddle says. And he still like got 3 goals and 4 assists or whatever when he came back. So it's not like he didn't turn up.
Mm.
But you can see he's fatigued.
Yeah.
Not just physically, mentally as well. It's a big strain. You know, Bruno, he was gone. But again, even when he's gone, he'll get goals, he'll get assists. But he needs a break because he was carrying the sporting team. Mm. And then he came to us and carried us.
So,
yeah. It's like these guys need, for me personally, I think, just forget about that. You've done your bit. You've got a Champions League football. Go and have an holiday. Mm. Come back for the start of the season and come back refreshed. Because let's not forget, you could play them just in the semis and the final. and then they could bring that fatigue with them to the start of the Premier League season.
But is there an argument to be made that if you look at a normal season, so let's say you ended mid May, then you may be, or if we're challenging for a trophy, it would be sort of toward the end of May, wouldn't it? Europa League final. Then they would come back at late June. So they have a month off, roughly, don't they, usually? So from now, what is it? The Thursday the 30th, so they've had from Sunday the 26th, or whatever it would have been. And when's the final of the Europa League this year? Is it the 19th?
I think so.
Or the 22nd, something like that. Yeah. If they just come back for the final, that's been their month off, and then they can almost treat the Europa League as pre-season. Or do you think they won't be in the frame of mind to come back straight for that?
I get where you're coming from in terms of the times, but, you know, you don't have that many games towards the end of a season crammed together the way we have.
No, I know, yeah.
And Marcus, as I keep going back to, had a broken back. I don't want to keep...
And wasn't, and was only back fit for maybe 3 or 4 weeks before the season returned. Yeah, he wasn't... Like Paul Pogba, sorry, was back to fitness toward the start of lockdown, wasn't
yeah.
he?
And he was just...
He was in the mix for the Spurs game when we thought it was going to go ahead at the original time.
Rashford only had 3 or 4 weeks before we came back.
I just feel like that. I feel those two players, I know they're vital to our team, but I just feel
like
those
Maguire
two
as well.
Yeah, maybe Maguire, yeah, you can maybe throw him in the mix.
I've heard a couple of things as well, though, that the teams that do well in Europa, Champions League, whatever, will be given 30 days... Whatever. So if we
that's
get
not
the fan,
confirmed yet, though. That's
there's
the
a
thing.
Couple of things anyway. Maybe so they're going to get 30 right. days anyway, which means, which I'm kind of.
But
do
even
know what?
So, that
even that still, that means that we're going to have 30 days off and then have Saturday, Wednesday. So I don't know what
because that's
really
just
helps.
Cramming more games into the same the same amount of games into a smaller period.
Just my main concern is we start the Premier League season with players that still haven't fully recovered because this. Yes, I'm a United fan. I want to win trophies, yeah. I'm not one of those who says, oh, you know, we're not going to have a fucking open-top parade because we finished third. Yeah, you want trophies, yeah. That's what we're sort of brought up on. And I'd love us to win the Europa because it is a trophy. It's a European trophy. You know, obviously...
It's difficult to win as well.
Yeah, of course it is. You know, it'd be an achievement. And I think, Ollie, you know, it'd be great for him as well to get a trophy, get something he's tangible he can hold on to. But I don't want it to come at the expense of we start next season with players that are still knackered.
So here's a question for you then. So the two options, or the three options are... Either you let the players have a break now and come back for the later stages, and that's their sort of end of season break. You either let them have half a break now, half a season, half a break afterwards, so two kind of half breaks in the time that you were mentioning, or you make them play through now as they would have done and then have that 20, 30 days afterwards. What would you go for there? Is two half a breaks as good as one longer break either side of the Europa League?
I think 2-3 weeks... We'll give them, they'll be back to how they were fitness-wise. Players like Marcus, I think the ones that need to be... I think Bruno is just rest. I think 2 weeks will be... I think if he's had 2 weeks, he can come back in. But Marcus, if he's struggling with his back, which I've heard he is still...
Maybe, I get where you're coming from with Bruno. I sort of understand that.
Just let, let's
Marcus
let him,
in particular
let him
is the one I'm like, because of the nature that he
has. Has to be Marcus. Maybe even Pogba as well with his ankle. Luke Shaw is... He's not playing again kind of thing.
Is he done for Europa?
He's done for Europa. They've said he's not back. So I think he's...
We don't have an official diagnosis on that, do we?
I think he was lying through his teeth saying he was fit for the...
And I think with someone like Shaw, he's obviously had that... I know it's not a different injury, but there's no rush because... You know, he had that horrific injury. I know it was a few years ago now, but we don't need to rush him back. We've got Brandon Williams. Timmy Fosu-Mensah can play at left back, amazingly. He's sort of thrown his hat into the ring. So, yeah, do we really need... I think Luke Shaw's an important member of the team, but do we really need to rush him back for this competition? No.
And we also, again, we have Laird, who is very exciting, very promising fullback who can play both sides. Obviously, he's a right back naturally, but we've seen Brandon Williams do the same thing. So there's multiple people in that position who are... available and fit and in a position to really like fight for their place in the
team.
It'd
be good to see Laird actually coming in. You make a good point there at right back because I think Wan-Bissaka needs a rest.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you never thought that earlier this season. He's just like a machine who's playing practically every game. But the last few games in particular, he's looked knackered.
Does DeLow
we know it's
kick?
Not his levels. It's just he's tired.
Yeah. Does DeLow get a kick at all in this? Or is he gone?
Sold, then, I probably not, but if he is...
I feel a bit sorry for Diogo DeLow. I've always liked him and I think... I don't think he's been terrible for Manchester United. I think he's been okay. I think he's had some good games. I just think he's not... You know, we're trying to kick on, and I don't know if he's got...
I think he was bought in Mourinho's we're going to play three at the back this decision, and he was going to be a wing-back. I think he does look better at wing-back, but I don't think he plays in a four. I just don't think he's good enough. I don't think he's defensively good enough, and I don't think we're good enough either. To be honest, I don't think we're a team that can just go, let's have two fullbacks to bomb on. I think now that we've got Wan-Bissaka, we've seen how good and solid that can be with a good defensive right back. I don't think we're going to change from that.
It does speak volumes, though. I know it's, you know, you could argue it's not necessarily true, but there's certainly enough rumours going around to make you think it could happen that Barca are in for him. So you know,
that makes
not,
sense.
He's not a duffer. He's not terrible at football. He's still only a young man who can play well and you know has played well for Manchester United. I just don't think he's consistent enough or got the sort of.
I think for Barca, he'd probably do really well at Barca. Yeah. You know, I think he's a very good, talented footballer going forward. And when they're going to have still Barca 80% of the ball kind of thing, I think he fits well with that. But I think defensively, I think he struggles.
Mm. It's not a bad move, is it, from being fourth choice United left back to Barcelona?
To being fourth choice Barcelona.
Yeah, well, maybe. I mean, yeah,
they've got Semedo and they've got Alba on that side as well. And they've got a few options, I think, ahead of him. But it might be a change for him. That if obviously Solskjaer's not keen, then it might be worth it. Let's have a little look at transfers. This week, in the last week, we've seen Sancho, people saying there's been an £89 million bid made that was rejected. Other people coming out saying, nah, no such bid exists. And the Sancho one's one that keeps going. And Sky yesterday saying United are increasingly confident of getting Sancho and that Dortmund are at, all the stuff we've heard over and over again. But do you think that there's a chance that Sancho is in and amongst the squad if we sign him, or how do you think that's going to work? Because obviously he's basically had a he's had a rest, hasn't he? Bundesliga finished, was it 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, it finished a little while ago, didn't it?
And that'll be an interesting one, bringing in not just Sancho but whoever United bring in. James Cooper on the Tier 1 podcast with you saying how he expects three signings this summer. And it's going to be interesting how they come in and come out, because there might be a scene where We bring players in to help sort of train them up for the Europa League final or later stage of the Europa League, and then everyone goes off on holiday and there's like four players training, and I don't know, it's going to be a bit of a weird one. Are you expecting transfers to come soon, or are you thinking it's going to be taking our time with things?
I always worry because this last summer we had this thing, didn't we, where we did one deal at a time. Do you remember? We did, and forgive me if I'm getting them the wrong way around, but we did Wan-Bissaka took, I can't remember if it was Maguire or Wan-Bissaka first, but we did that, went on for 11 days. Then we moved on to the next one that took 2 weeks. And then
not enough time to.
The Dan James one got postponed because
we deal with transfers like you're watching telly, like you can only have one channel at once.
Yeah.
We need Sky Multi Room. We need more than one channel going on at once. How come you can only make one deal?
In 2011.
I've only got one phone.
In the summer of 2011. You're right, we did like Young, Jones, and De Gea within like a week. It was just boom, 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 done. Do you know what I mean? And then this summer, like I said, it took us a month to make those three deals, one of which was already done. It just got postponed because obviously Dan James lost his dad. So you can't be doing that again because the window's short this time. We want to get these players in. We don't want to do... The thing that happened with Bruno is, yes, it was great we got him, but the frustrating thing was, even to the point of we got him in January, at the end of January, it was annoying because we got him a little bit earlier. All right, it didn't make much difference in the grand scheme of things because we finished third, but you don't want to be doing that this season, getting Sancho in late or whoever, and it takes them a while, and then that can cost you some points or it can cost you a few games.
Yeah. And you've seen as well,
it's
going to
be so tight this season.
You've seen him come back for Dortmund not fit, so maybe he's one of them people that needs a pre-season. Yeah, he needs to be switched on.
There's been a couple of times with Sancho's career, which is something I would be slightly cautious of, or at least if I was Solskjaer and in that position, it would be something that I'm sure is being discussed, where his attitude and his turn up late for training and coming back not fit has been called into question a few times. There's been a couple of sequences in the last couple of years where he's been on the bench because of off-the-field stuff with Dortmund. So if he's maybe, again, I'm not trying to tar his whole career as having a bad attitude, but there has been times when he's clearly not got on with Dortmund
it could be someone like Rooney, someone like we've got Luke Shaw now, that is just someone that needs a pre-season.
Yeah, which
always,
is fine.
That needs
we
to
need
be
to accommodate for that. Yeah. We can't be getting someone in with 2 days before the end of the or 2 days after the window ends, or before the window ends, sorry, and be like, go on, then play then. Especially because the window ends in October. We need to get him in before the start.
That's what worries me.
And that's the other thing as well.
If we came in October and we're six games in and we've only got 4 points, he's having to pause out of another nightmare.
This season is going to be so much tighter because Chelsea have already made signings. The Scousers and City aren't going anywhere. It pains me to say. City are making signings. So for us to actually get third is going to be harder this season.
And
I know people won't want to hear that.
And there's only City and Wolves that are left in any Europe, because Chelsea have still got a game, but they're not
3-0 down, aren't they?
They're going to send the kids and just go on, lads. Have a holiday there. They're not going to put a full-strength team out, I wouldn't think, to try and win.
Even if they do, it's one game.
It's one game, they come back, done.
Pre-season.
So There's only three teams. You've got the rest of the league that are going to have this. Looks like it feels like an extended break for them. They're going to have almost 2 months at it, kind of thing, or at least 6 weeks at it. And if you don't come in flying, you know, we can drop points against the lower down teams, which we did at the start of this season, that kind of derailed everything. So we have to be flying as we start this season. Yeah.
Yeah, and we need any signings we make need to be in at least 2 or 3 weeks before we start the season.
Like you were saying earlier, you know, you look at it already. City, at the time of recording this, looks like the Aki deal is going to happen. Mm. They've got the young lad from Valencia, is it Torres?
Torres.
Then you, Chelsea have already Ferran done Torres. Werner. Who else have done?
Ziyech. And Havertz is on the way by the looks of things.
Looks like that's a done deal. So they're not fucking about.
Yeah, the Havertz one, because they're in Europa League as well. Right. So I think that's going to be...
Well, it's difficult for Chelsea because they only signed two players when they had a transfer ban last summer. So,
yeah.
And brought in 39, recalled 39 loanees that they had that, you know, that almost sort of went under the radar.
Putting Kovacic on a full-time deal and getting Pulisic in, that's got to be hard when you're on a transfer ban, isn't it? That 100 million quid worth of players on a transfer ban. They really need some improvements. This is one of those things that is just a stupid thing to say, but when we're looking at next season, and obviously Chelsea are improving and... Not because I think either any of those players that we mentioned are bad players, but you'd assume that maybe not all of them will be immediately successful at the club just because the way transfers tend to work, especially big money transfers like that. You look at City, who continuously pay at least 40 to 60 million for defenders who invariably get dropped after 2 months. Do you think there's a case that United could maybe overtake? Obviously, we have overtaken Chelsea, but and Liverpool, who... Again, whilst they've been so good this season, have lost some of their sort of luster a little bit in the last few weeks just because they don't try. They're not, you know, you've won the league, they're not trying as much. But you can't just turn back on, let's win every game. Especially when this season they scored less than they did last season and, you know, they conceded more and all these sorts of things. Statistically, other than the points, they actually weren't as dominant this season. I know that sounds stupid to say.
I get where
you're when you
from.
Watch them, you didn't think, fucking hell, they're going to get five every game like they did last year. They were much more conservative, much more reserved, but got the wins, obviously, which sealed the title for them. But if they aren't improving next season, do you think there's a potential for that points gap to be narrowed?
I think it can be, but I think they can get away with that and still win the title.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
they can get away with that, you know, and still... City are obviously setting their stall.
Because not improving is a bad thing to do. Because especially when their players are all mid to late 20s.
If you look at 99 with United, yeah, which I often do.
It's a good one. It
have to.
Mint.
Can remember how
and it's
it was.
The greatest season any club has ever had in the history of English football. Fact. We were that good. And then in 2000, we walked the league almost. Mm-hmm. But we weren't as good as we were in 99. In 2001, we walked the league. And I mean, I remember going and seeing teams like Derby and Charlton beating us because we'd already won the league and we didn't care. Mm. I think it was 2000 when we won it, the earliest time it's ever been won. I think it was in April.
Until?
Yeah, no, because they didn't play till June, so it was tough shit. It's a fact.
Eat that, dorks.
Yeah. It's, but we,
look
we
at the calendar.
We won it quicker than
they
any other team.
They actually won it it took them longer than any other team to
they didn't
ever
win it till June. Absolutely disgrace.
They were the best team
should
ever.
Be ashamed of yourselves. But the point is, we were that good to start with that other teams couldn't catch us. Even though you could argue that 2000 and 2001, we weren't quite as dominant if you watched those games.
You had the goalkeeper issues for them two seasons as well, for as much as your best mate disappeared, and we can, you know, we struggled for goalkeeper for two seasons. We improved in...
Stan missed a load of games, didn't he, in 2001? I think he only played 15, albeit he was amazing in those 15 games.
So we kind of did...
The village.
Yeah. Best defender I've ever seen at Old Trafford. It is. Vidic, hang on a minute, right? This whole fucking rose-tinted glasses with Manu Vidic was great, yeah. He was a great defender and I loved him. But he's the third best centre-back I've seen at United.
Behind Stam and Ferdinand?
Yeah. And if it wasn't for injuries, I'd have put Wes Brown above him, but Wes Brown was just had too many injuries. But people love stats and what they go when they look at Vidic. Yeah. His stats are better than Ferdinand's. His stats are better than
Van Dijk. I think of all the positions.
So they go, look at the stats, look at the cleans, look at this. Rio Ferdinand, if you look at the amount of games he played and the way he played,
he
reinvented defending almost.
Yeah, there's a bit of heart behind Vidic in the fact that he tackled people with his head a lot. That was kind of it. He was the captain.
He was as good as people say he was. Between 2007 and 2009,
he was amazing. Yeah. I'm not sort of, this isn't a criticism of Vidic, and I'm not having a dig because he left us when we needed him.
No,
I'm not saying that.
You are a bit.
My point is, like, for me, and you know, I've seen some amazing defenders at United. Gary Pallister, Steve Bruce, for example.
Lauren Blanc.
Paul McGrath a little bit. I was a bit too young, but I still saw glimpses. But for Vidic to be the third best means he was amazing. I'm not saying he wasn't. I'm just saying for me, Stan was the best I ever saw, closely followed by Rio, closely followed by Vidic. Any one of them would walk into any team in the world, and any one of them now in their prime would be the best defender in the Premier League if they were playing now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a bit about Vidic because he scored a few goals as well. That was the other thing that kind of got Vidic over that. He scored big goals in a couple of big games and things like that. And like I said, tackling with the head, he had that old school way of just, you know, fucking
he
went through brick walls kind of things. He was quality in that kind of way. He wasn't as good as Stam on the ball.
Stam was just a machine, and you could put Jonsson, Berg. I might be getting my dates wrong here, but I don't think Sylvester ever played alongside him, but I think Gary Neville might have slotted in. Wes Brown. Any of those players next to him looked mint. Yeah. They did. And then, to be fair, they were good defenders. They weren't, like I said. But it didn't matter who we played alongside. And it only started coming off, the wheel started coming off, when we got rid of him and then brought in Rio, and Rio wasn't quite... the player he became quite there. We had problems anyway.
He's only like 21, 22, wasn't he?
We had problems anyway. And it sort of, you know, I think Fergie admitted it. He underestimated how good Stan was and how important he was. Vidic, like you say, best January signing anyone's ever had, best window anyone's ever had, just revitalised the entire team. So,
Like the original point of Scousers not improving. Yeah.
Because also, let's
try and bring it back.
I did forget what the point was.
As much as, you know, we support for Devils is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Nice. I like the idea that they belong to the whole family. Manscaped just launched in the UK. Didn't you know that, Jay?
No, I didn't until recently.
We've gone years without using the right tools for the job. You can be one of the first men in England to experience their life-changing products. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team has perfected the greatest, and I'll say it, ball hair trimmer ever created. And it's just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 in the UK. Have you ever used a lawnmower before? A conventional one?
Yes.
Yeah? What did you think to it?
It was good.
Imagine this, but on a smaller scale.
Right, okay.
Much smaller in some cases. The third generation trimmer features a cutting edge, no pun intended, ceramic blade to reduce manscaping accidents. When I tell you this is premium, Jay, I mean premium. I'm not just saying the word premium, because it is. The battery lasts up to 90 minutes, so you can take even longer to shave.
Well, that's what I need.
You could probably get a few goes out of it.
I need time.
90 minutes.
Yeah, you need time.
I'm not rushing this.
No, because they're real thick.
I like 90 minutes. It's perfect. You just watch the game whilst doing this.
Yeah.
Multitasking. That's multitasking. What we're
yeah, chips and dip on the chest. Manscaped down below. The water-resistant technology allows you to groom in the shower. And one of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming, which I've always found sometimes it gets a little dark under there.
It does. Yeah.
And I'm like, what am I trimming? What aren't I trimming? Have I accidentally taken a leg off? You don't want any of that, do you? You want to know exactly where you are. You want to be able to see the tracks that you've covered. And you don't want to miss any areas. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. I mean, I've been asking for this for years.
Everything. Got everything.
I've got a 100 RPM one. It's just an old lady with a pair of shears. They've also, let's not forget actually as well about the charging stand, and that's one of the key features I want to talk about. Show off your mower loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand, it's not been designed by dumbos, this has been designed by intelligent people, and its convenient charging dock is powered by USB, which means you can show it off. You invite someone around to your house, look at that, what's that charging over there? Plug it into your laptop at work. It's the Lawnmower 3.0. If you're listening to me right now, you want to experience this. You want to experience this firsthand for yourself. That's just true. Let's get the bush to tush clean.
Nice.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Devils at manscaped.com. Your balls are gonna thank you. They're gonna say thank you, and you're gonna go, I didn't even know you could speak, and they're gonna go, it's because my mouth was covered by all these hairs for all these years. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Devils at manscaped.com. That is 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code Devils. It's time to shave those balls.
We'll put the link in the description as well audio boom, so you can get your 20% off. And listen, it's the modern era. Get with it.
Yeah, it is. Get with it. Shave those boils. It would be stupid to say that Liverpool are certainly going to drop points next season. Obviously, because you know why.
Do you think that is a decline, slight decline towards the end of the season with Liverpool? Do you think that genuinely is like the
Atletico Madrid game?
Yeah,
and post.
Yeah,
was a team that was. Being very, they were so I would call them ruthless in the first few months, or sort of savvy, and it wasn't like, look at us, free-flowing football, we'll concede two but we'll score six, which is how it felt a bit more last season. I know they weren't quite to that extent, and they were defensively good, but it was a lot of 2-1s, and oh, the drawing, oh, 80th minute winner, oh, you know, they're still in behind, oh, two goals in the last 15. It felt like they were obviously winning more games than ever, but not being quite as imperious and as scary.
They weren't as good this season.
No.
They weren't.
And they haven't scored as many goals. They haven't,
football,
you know,
wise, they weren't as good.
Firmino's not scored at home until the last game of the season. That's
really?
That's not the attack.
He's not done what?
Yeah, exactly.
Say that again.
But also, you look as well.
So the amount of goals of Firmino after
they
lockdown.
Didn't
what?
Improve particularly from last season to this season either. Let's not forget that. They haven't improved that squad much from last season to this season.
I mean, this is the only
and then
bit
again,
of credit I'll ever give Jurgen Klopp is he knew, like, everyone was going on in the summer, weren't they? Like, he's not strengthened. Mm. He's making a mistake. I think he knew his team was set.
Yeah,
and they
brought in Keita a little bit and Fabinho a little bit more as well.
But also, I mean, and I'm not being bitter, and they deserve to, you win the title, you deserve it. I'll say that about any team, whether it's Leicester, whether it's Blackburn, whether it's United, whether it's the Scousers. But
not
he got very lucky. He got very lucky with injuries as well.
Like,
I've never seen a club have that fewer injuries over a season and win the league, because
over two
that
seasons.
Front three, the way they play as well, to not have any injuries is pretty much unreal.
Yeah.
But, you know, they deserve to be titled winners.
But then, so they've been so consistent for 2 years now. This season, again, like I said, looking slightly less free-flowing than they have done. But also, let's not forget, City dropped, what was it, 25 points from what they got last season?
City's title defence this season was terrible.
Losing a 36-year-old who didn't have any knees for the last 3 years in company, but was still obviously talismanic and good for him, and then having one long-term injury to another centre-back. And that was the difference. Kevin De Bruyne played almost all of the season, having not played the season before. So, you know, we talk about how good he is, and he is probably the best player in the league. He isn't the difference between them winning the league and not winning the league. Laporte is. Because De Bruyne was injured most of last season.
And that's where you look at...
And they won the league easy.
Happens to Van
not
Dijk,
easy, but...
That's them in serious trouble.
Yeah.
He's that player that makes... Because Trent and Robertson are good going forward. Mm. But you take Van Dijk away from them there, then defensively it's not as good. Gomez is okay, but he's
nowhere near as... No, but it's like that Stam thing of if you've got Gomez or Matip next to
now Van Dijk may
Van
play
Dijk.
Every game again next season.
They'll look good, but...
But they've still... And then they've lost players that rotate in. They've just lost Lallana. They're starting to sell Lovren. They've got rid of Lovren as well. Not starters, but they were squad players that play games for them that meant that these guys have a break in these games and this game
I just
that
think
they can't do anymore.
In the way that people think that it takes a lot more to go from being a third or fourth place team to challenging for the title. And I'm not saying that we're going to do that, but Liverpool did that a couple of years ago, didn't they? You know, they were behind us the season when we finished second, and then the next season they got 95 points. So, or two seasons later they got 95 points. So you're never as far off as you think, and I don't think you're ever as secure at the top as you think either. Well, Chelsea are a perfect example of that. They get 90 points one season and about 50 the next year, every 3 years.
Last two seasons everyone's thought they are going to go neck and neck Liverpool. There is no chance they're going to be this far behind.
Once 23 points or whatever it was.
23 points behind.
It was as bad as we were under Moyes.
With a crumble of Liverpool towards the end as well, where they only picked up, they lost a lot of games that they wouldn't have done, or they dropped a lot of points after a lockdown that they wouldn't have done.
Yeah, they only won
the
one
interesting
trophy.
Thing for me as well is, like, everyone loves Pep Guardiola, but when's he rebuilt a team? He went to Barca, he got a team, he promoted or focused more on likes of Xavi and Iniesta, and Eto'o was on his way out. I know he got one season out of him. The likes, you know, there's certain players that he just moved on or whatever. Ronaldinho, I think, for example. Then he went to Bayern, sort of had that team there, strengthened
but
it.
All
slightly.
He did with them was
no, that's what
won
I mean.
The league they'd been winning every year anyway.
That's my point. Yeah. Went to City, okay, at City, you know, he brought in a lot of players, made a lot of signings. Some he got right, a lot he got right. Some he got wrong, likes of Bravo, for example, Nolito. Also, they brought in De Bruyne and Sterling before he got there, knowing he was on his way, because he knew that those are players he'd benefit from. But you've never seen Guardiola did what Fergie did.
He's never had a team that was successful, then it sailed off and rebuilt it to be successful again. This is the first. He's never done that.
To be fair,
if he kicks off this season, it's his longest ever stint as a manager.
In the Premier League, there are only two managers that have ever done that, and that's Wenger and Ferguson. No one has ever won the league with a team, rebuilt it and won the league with the same team again.
No
one's ever done that. Chelsea do that independently
of
their managers. They rebuild and win it again.
This Torres that they're signing, which I think is going to be a good signing.
I love how they're all fucking experts on him now. Every City fan I've seen has always rated him. I've never heard him mention him before in their lives.
A journalist said, I've not seen much of this Torres, but if Pep Guardiola wants him, he must be a good player. Mm. He signed John Stones.
Fuck off.
For 50 million quid. People forget that he spent so much money on players, Guardiola. And he has signed some very good players, but doesn't mean that he's automatically been good. They've signed a lot of players that have been shit these last few years as well. Mm-hmm. The fact that they've just signed four of them.
Pep's Cancelo transfer record last season. Isn't great.
Cancelo last season played four games or something. Yeah. For 60 million quid.
Don't forget, like when they brought in Bravo and dropped Joe Hart, that was massive. That was, this is going to be the keeper who's going to play the way I want to play.
And also, he'd had him as a keeper before. Yeah. He knew him.
Yeah. And he spent like 30 odd million on him, broke the record for a keeper or whatever.
It was shit.
And he was terrible. Yeah, terrible. Yeah. And then it was like, all right, I'm going to go again and buy another most expensive keeper in the world. Yeah. And it was like, people going, Pep. You've got defensive problems. You've got a £50 million young defender you were about to be the next big thing in John Stones, and you can't get a tune out of him.
I had a City fan say to me today, I think overpaying for Nathan Ake. He said he's your sixth most expensive defender if he comes
in. That's what I mean. And it's like...
And that's in the current squad. And you've still got Otamendi and Mangala that cost around the same in the £40 million mark. You're like, that's 8 to 9 defenders that you've all signed.
It's really interesting as well because that spine, you spoke about it, Company. The spine's always been
Silver's
for me.
Gone.
Yeah, Company. I'd throw in Fernandinho. I'd throw in Silva and Aguero. Of the original. I know you've got De Bruyne. You've got
Negredo.
You've got Barlo Negredo.
Don't mean he scored in like 8 games in a row at home, but never scored an away goal.
I remember at one point his record was 9-34, and everyone was going how wonderful he was, and Welbeck's was exactly the same, and everyone was going out shit season. He's like,
come on, Danny Welbeck, bring him back.
Don't get me started. Dreams do come true. but that spine, that historically, Manchester City spine from Company, who's obviously already left, Silva's going, Aguero's on his way out, Fernandinho is 34, I think.
Change.
Yeah. This is now the time.
He's played at centre-back from all season. He's played at centre-back from all season. Over John Stones.
That's what I mean.
Big change. That Rodri came in and I think he was good, but he was nowhere near Fernandinho. Good, but not... Where Fernandinho
was. What I mean, like,
David Silva comes in, they're going to have to... he's gone. You're going to have to replace him. For as much as you're going to say Phil Foden's going to fill it, he's not. You thought that... They said that John Stones was going to fill where Company was. It's not going to happen, So they're going to have to strengthen. They're the other team that, yes, they spent money already, but that team is still now weaker than it was last season. Losing David Silva and replacing him with... And Sane as well, and replacing him with this Torres and Ake, still a weaker team than it was last year.
It is, and I think, he's got to take some responsibility for that, Pep, because it's been a dreadful title defence. Yeah. I don't get the contradictions, the fact that he says Phil Foden's the greatest player he's ever worked with, yet he doesn't play him week in, week out. Why not? You're fucking 20-odd points behind the champions. Why have you not played one of your best players you've ever worked with week in, week out? Yeah. You don't see us dropping Martial or fucking Bruno.
You don't see us dropping Greenwood since
then. Yeah, exactly. It just makes
Ollie's
no sense.
Ollie's come out and said that he's the best. He needed to bulk up, and he did that over the lockdown. And now he's played, simple as, whereas Foden...
It's the same old thing with these managers. They're like, it's like Klopp giving out fucking appearances at the end of the season, the likes of Harvey Elliott and all these other like youngsters. Oh yeah, these are the next big thing. He was saying that about Ryan Brewster 3 seasons ago, and I've fucking seen him get a sniff.
He scored a nice goal for Swansea in the Championship yesterday.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like it's just we've got the greatest youngster I've ever worked with, and I'm going to do this, that, and the other with him. And yet it's just nonsense. Just talking rubbish.
Back to United then. Solskjaer obviously. It's hard to say overachieved, but we weren't expecting to finish third necessarily at the start of the season. Do you think that moving into next year, obviously we're looking for reinforcements, but there's potentially 3 positions we want to improve on. Do you think that if he doesn't get those positions, or even if he does, what are the expectations for next season is what I'm asking? Because are we just going to lose one game and Solskjaer out again?
For me, personally, I think next season a trophy and top 4, even though people won't like that, is sort of realistic. I think being involved in the title conversation up until maybe March would be moving in the right direction. I don't think
massive.
We can
We haven't challenged for the title since
I don't think
Fergie
we can
left,
with his squad. And I don't think 3 signings, which I think what we'll get, as you mentioned, James Cooper said the other day, and I believe him, I don't think that'll be enough.
If we're within 6 points of the top team in the country at Christmas, I'll be over the moon with that.
Yeah. And I know, listen,
I'll be over the moon
before
with
people go, oh, look at Man United, I get it. but you've got to look at where we're coming from. There's no point in being deluded.
It's
going,
too late for that, I think. That whole, oh, United, we should expect more from that. Well, what are you doing then?
Yeah.
At what point do you have to say, we aren't the Man United that we were for 30 years, or that we have been for, you know, 40 of the last 70 years? We're not that team.
No, I think
got to be more realistic.
Oh, we need to challenge for titles. Go on then. Challenging for titles. Sorry, when Phil Jones is starting.
You look at the last two managers that have come in, their first seasons. Van Gaal got us back into the top four, but then the squad was weaker for the next season because we lost Di Maria, Falcao and all them and replaced, and all we had to do was replace them. We weren't building on a squad. Mourinho got us Europa League, got us Champions League football. There was a little bit of a feel good. You could see something that was happening. You could see his team kind of building. And then all we did in the transfer market was replace the people that he lost, because he lost Zlatan, brought Lukaku in. He lost Michael Carrick and brought Matic in. And then we brought another centre-half when I don't think he quite thought Lindelof or was going to be good enough. No. You know, so we brought another centre-half. Was it Bailly? He signed the first season.
Like when you saw the likes of, say, Daley Blindley, for example.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you brought in Eric Bailly, just couldn't get a run.
The squad
Marcus Rowe wasn't... He obviously didn't rate him, or he couldn't rely on him. Chris Smalling was in and out. Jones was in and out. It felt like it was just staying the same.
The squad never got any better. No. Yeah. As I said, when Lukaku came in, squad didn't improve.
No.
We put on different number nine instead of Zlatan, because Zlatan was never going to play again. He was going to get a run of games when his knee got better. That was it. He was going to help us out in the cup. That was it. We need to, going into next season, improve on the squad. Because if we don't, then this whole board conversation that we've had for years about and the Glazers and all this will come back again. Because, look, you know, we did it with Van Gaal, done it with Mourinho. If we do it with the third manager, where we don't back them after they've
especially after
Van Gaal was relatively successful with that team, did okay in that with that team, got us top four again, looked a bit better, didn't improve, went. Mourinho got us back in Champions League football, won a couple of trophies, looked better, looked like we had the winning mentality again, didn't improve the squad, left. And there was a lot of Mourinho problems. But if Ollie does that again, if we have this season where, you know, top three, which is overachieving for that squad, or as good as
because Tottenham have underachieved.
It was as good as it was going to do. You know, he's done as well as that squad was ever going to do. And if we maybe pick up a trophy or have a good, we've had two good cup runs, if we get a third where we get to a final maybe. If we don't improve on that, then there's that big question again: is what do we do?
If you look at the history, and I'm not saying that he's as good as Alex Ferguson, because no manager in the history of football is.
No,
but you look at Fergie. Fergie came in. And I might be getting these wrong, but forgive me. I think he had sort of one season where we got to second, miles away from Liverpool.
Yeah.
And then the next season, we dropped off massively. But then he got another season.
Yeah.
I think that was his third full season where we won the FA Cup.
Yeah.
But the point was, it was up and down. You could sort of trust in the process, for want of a better expression, where he was bringing through the youngsters. He was changing the ethos of the club. He was doing all these things. And again, I had the caveat, I'm not saying he's as good as Fergie, but always changing things at United. There is more trust in youth. He has shifted on some of the expensive players that weren't up to standard. There is a sort of feel-good factor amongst the squad. They get on with each other, they like each other.
The style of play is better. They score more goals.
He's shown his faith in the likes of Rashford, Martial. He seems to have built some bridges with Paul Pogba. You know what I mean? The signings of words. So if next season, for example, we could finish next season on 80 points and finish fourth. It could happen.
Definitely.
Because the reason that 66 points this season got us third was because we beat Chelsea home and away, we beat Leicester home and away, we beat
City home and away.
Yeah. Now, you can pick up 66 points, mental. Lose to Chelsea home and away, lose to Leicester home and away, lose to City home and away, and finish with 66 points in 10th or whatever.
Yeah.
It's how we've done it. But I think next season, it's going to be more difficult, and it might be a case of we get more points, which is progress, but we might necessarily not have, we might finish fourth or whatever. And we've just got to be prepared for that a little bit because I want to see that this team and this club is moving forward. You know, you mentioned Van Gaal, it's a great example. Van Gaal got us to fourth. Next season, won the FA Cup. Now, on paper, that looks like okay, but the fucking football, and you know better than anyone,
and we
was
lost,
dreadful
we
in
lost
his second
players
season.
Like that second
it was
season.
Shite.
Van Persie
and I'm not
gone.
Being funny, I couldn't do it.
Van Persie
season.
Left, didn't he? Nanny left.
It was
players
horrible.
Like, Di Maria left. Hernandez left. So four. I think Danny Welbeck left in that second
well,
season
that,
as well.
That ruins just any
but
season.
Those attacking players, that whatever we had left, and we replaced them with Memphis Depay, who didn't work out.
Didn't we? Yeah.
But we didn't. The squad didn't get better. The squad kind of. We made signs. It didn't get better. Now this season, if we sign another defender in left back or centre half. I think they're the two positions, a midfielder, creative player, and Jadon Sancho. But then if you lost a player, if you lost a Paul Pogba, if that still happened, then we've not improved again. But so we need to be prepared for that, and we need to, that squad needs to look better next season. Yeah. So if we do lose a Paul Pogba, if that still happens, two midfielders coming for that, you know, we need to look better on paper than we did, whereas we've not in the past. We've signed players, you know, I said Mourinho signed Lukaku, which was a very good player for his system, but the squad wasn't any better.
I just think Lukaku was a massive mistake, and I think it fucked us. And I know people don't agree, because they go, he scored 42 goals in 96 games. Look at the goals he scored, look at how he scored them, fits and starts, didn't turn up in the big games. And I think we put all our eggs in that basket. Admittedly, there wasn't a lot of available,
but there wasn't a team around.
Alvaro Morata was the other one, you know, exactly
who's worse than Lukaku. Yeah. We there made the right decision of the two,
but it just didn't work out.
But we didn't get the players, we didn't get the lads that could cross a ball next to him, which is the thing is, that was the whole point, is that you've gone down this path. And this is the whole thing with Ollie now. Ollie needs very good technical footballers. We need a Jadon Sancho. We need a Grealish that'll come in as well and make this even better.
To just win hundreds of penalties next season. I hope we have a season where... So we've got
I want to break that record.
I don't want to break the record. I want us only to score penalties next season. I want us to score 111 goals and all of them are penalties. I would love that. Imagine how fuming people would be.
Mate, you know my thoughts on piss boiling. That'd be better than 99.
If we won the league and only scored... Ole Gunnar Solskjaer without penalties has actually got a 0% win record. I'd fucking love it. Yeah. Only penalties.
You take away his penalties.
We only scored.
No, we haven't scored any.
That's it. Penalties.
Take away Martial's penalties.
It's a 100 goal season because he takes every single one of them and don't miss. That's what I want.
That'd be mint.
Don't care about all this. Refs are giving it easy.
We only score set piece goals.
This season has been the one season where more penalties than ever have been guaranteed because of VAR. Like in the past, there's been up for debate and that, but you've had penalties checked. Like
I said, someone went through them. I've seen that thread where someone went through all 14.
And there's maybe one or two or three that you think maybe not. And then there's two or three that we probably should have got that we didn't. Like the one where Fred got yanked back on the edge of the box against City. Was it City? No, he got tripped over against City. There's one where he got pulled back on the edge of the box as well.
Martial got pulled over in the Palace game as well.
That's the one I'm on about, yeah.
The thing is, right, like, historically, you've always had this controversy with penalties, and there's times when you've had like decisions that have cost you, that have really cost you. Do you know what I mean? Like in the past, where you go, "Oh, that shouldn't have happened," or "That should have happened," or whatever. But I think that looking at it over the course of the season, it has been pretty fair.
Yeah, it has been pretty fair, and you see less now of people diving. Like Ashley Young got a reputation for it, and certain people got a reputation for it. For diving, and I think you see less diving now because you can't get away with it.
No.
And maybe the ones where the goalie comes out and you sort of start to go over before he takes your ankles out. We saw Bruno do one of them, but he still took his ankles out.
And the
Ashley Young one where someone would come across you and you diving over like that. We saw Grealish do one the other week, didn't we? And people just take the piss out of him instead. And I think that the percentage success rate on penalties given is higher than it ever has been.
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
Thank God.
It's good. It's good.
And it's great, isn't it? It's 14 good. Penalties this season. Min. Love it. Right, so Jay, before we go, obviously this is the last podcast before the Europa League starts. We're going to be covering all that on Straight for Paddock. We'll have watch-alongs for the LASK game. I reckon we should maybe do some sort of competition to see if anyone can guess the correct starting 11 against LASK. Because I'll be stunned if anyone gets it. I'll be absolutely stunned if anyone gets that 11 right. But... give me your score prediction for the LASK game. Give me your little prediction of how we're going to treat the Europa League very quickly.
I think he'll treat it as just he's not even a glorified pre-season. I think he'll give some of the youngsters a chance. I think he'll get his first team squad. He'll just want them to get fit. So I expect to see. Maybe he might go for it a bit more if he gets to the semis or the final. But I think certainly for the first couple of games, it'll just be the kids. So you say, sorry, do you say my starting 11 for the
no, give a score prediction.
Oh, score prediction for the LSK. I think the LSK know that they beat losses already, so I think we could actually hammer them again, even with the kids. I think it could be something like, maybe not hammer them, but 3-0, a comfortable win.
What are you thinking? How are we going to be approaching this?
Same kind of thing, but I think he will bring players back if we get to semi-final. I definitely think he'll bring the players back. I think he'll want to win that trophy. I think Ollie wants that.
Ollie needs a trophy.
Ollie wants that picture of the trophy. I think he needs that for himself.
FA Cup would have been better because it's the best version of that trophy available. Even if it's not as highly regarded as Champions League or FA Cup, the FA Cup is the best cup he can win.
Definitely. I think that, but I think, like I said, I think in the first two games, it's kids. Mm. I think Fred and McTominay get a bit of a run because they've not played many games. I think Mata comes in, Lingard plays a few more, Pereira. But I think last game, I'm going to go for like a 2-2 draw or something like that. I think both games don't really care. United will score early and then it'll just be like, it doesn't really matter.
Can I just ask you something before you wrap up? Mm-hmm. Do you think that's it now with Paul Pogba? Do you think he stays next season?
I'll be very surprised and upset if he leaves.
Yeah, do you think that's he's not happening?
I don't know. I don't see it happening. I don't see Madrid spending the money because they're the only team that are going to come in for him.
I know you're wrapping up. I'm just curious because it just seems to quiet down a little bit. But then I think
too much.
Yeah, like
too quiet.
Is he just there now?
Another bounce just before the start of
the
season.
I always worry because we've got to the point now where Bruno and Pogba are so pivotal to the team. Mm. And you mentioned it earlier. You said if you lose Pogba, you got to bring in two to replace him, which you get. It just, you know,
I think
we saw that, didn't we, against Spurs? It took 5 minutes against Spurs for everyone to go.
I know this sounds daft, but I think if Grealish had been done last week, if Grealish had been signed, I think I'd been more worried. I think I'd been going, is that back of the mind going just in case? Just in case Madrid come in and go, there's 150
million.
I'm
a bit of a worrier. Do you think that's Ollie's most important thing Ollie's got to do?
Keep Paul Pogba.
Is that more important, do you think, than even getting a Sancho or whatever? Or do you think
Sancho? No, we have to. I think we need two players at least that come in and are starters that come in and play straight away. That's for me. That's my important thing. I think we need two players, right winger and another somewhere.
I just
find
it unnerving when we're not talking about Pogba. This is a quiet before the storm. So I don't want to obviously go on about it, but I just do because I'm waiting for Raiola to come out and go, you know.
Don't be surprised. I'd be surprised if we went through the whole of pre-season and into next season with no mention.
Raiola come out and go, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the devil incarnate and I will never ever speak to
if
that man again.
If it weren't for Paul Pogba, would have finished, say, eighth or something.
Yeah, or he'll pick a fight with like Arthur Albiston or someone, just randomly.
Yeah. Right, that's all from us today. Let us know how you think and how you think Solskjaer will approach the Europa League and how you think he should approach the Europa League. Is it just a sort of glorified charity shield at this point, or is it a chance for him to win his first trophy and a major trophy at that? Let us know what you think in the comments below. Thank you very much for joining us at home. Thanks for joining me, Jay and Alex.
Cheers, mate.
See you later. And again, don't forget to check the link in the description to get 20% off and free shipping on your Lawnmower 3.0 with the code DEVILS at manscaped.com. Again, link in the description at manscaped.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.